Three shots, four par, I just do two. One putt, par four, birdie, woohoo. New driver, info, replace, M2. Par five, fairway, what you fin do? Think I'll try to get on into. Start right, good line, good view. Andrew, shooter McGavin, two thumbs up.
Okay, we're rolling through here. We're welcoming to the pod on the Screws Podcast, Scott Pritchard, Executive Director, PGA Tour Canada. Scott, how are you doing?
Doing great, Mac. Thanks for having me.
Yeah, no, thank you. I really appreciate you you hopping on and taking some time. I know you guys are busy kind of getting all your schedules, everything finalized for the season coming up. So appreciate you taking a few minutes and coming in on and chatting with us. Maybe you can let anybody know who might not know you or know too much about PGA Tour Canada, who you are and kind of how you kind of got connected with the golf world in Canada.
Well, yeah, I mean, I've worked in the golf industry basically since I graduated university. I went to University of Ottawa and I worked there in the athletic department, and I kind of knew I wanted to work in sports, you know, specifically hockey or golf. I had two passions of mine. And during the school year, I worked for the hockey team mainly in the athletic department, you know, doing sort of a bunch of things, you know, running sort of intermission events and selling stuff, you know, in the game day program, selling sponsorship, you know, in the community around the university. And then in the summers, I worked at a golf shop called Chuck Brown Golf, which isn't around anymore. But a guy, Nick Ewan, I'm not sure if you know Nick. Nick works for Adidas Golf in Canada, and we worked there together, you know, selling clubs and having fun. And so, yeah, I graduated, and I was lucky enough to get an internship with the PGA of Canada. And at the time, the PGA of Canada was running a Korn Ferry Tour event. At the time, it was called the Nationwide Tour. And I started on that event, you know, putting up ropes and stakes and signs and, you know, shuttling media, doing a bunch of different things. And that ended up, you know, being my first sort of interaction with the PGA Tour. And I knew at that time, I'm like, you know, and the guys that I worked with from the PGA Tour were amazing, you know, true professionals. And I said to myself, I want to work for the PGA Tour. And I was lucky enough at the end of that summer in 2003 to get offered a full-time job with the PGA. And I worked in various capacities at the PGA for, call it, the better part of 8 years. You know, running all the national championships from a competition perspective, as well as involved in sponsorship. And so I really had a good opportunity at that time to learn all facets of the business and, you know, be it on the rules side and then also on the sales side. And I was lucky enough to have some good mentors along the way. And then, in 2011, or I guess in 2010, the former commissioner of the Canadian Tour approached me about, you know, coming to work for the Canadian Tour. And at the time, there were some discussions, you know, with the Canadian Tour about potential with the PGA Tour, really in its infancy. But that was also the same time that PGA Tour Latino America was being launched. And so at the time, the Canadian Tour had a relationship with what was called TLA, or Tour de las Americas, which is ultimately what's become PGA Tour Latino America. And then in, so he hired me in 2011. And after that year, you know, the Canadian Tour had a tough year financially. And that's when, you know, the discussions were started with the PGA Tour about sort of fast forwarding the idea of rebranding and the PGA Tour ultimately taking over the Canadian Tour. And as we know, that happened in 2013, and I was lucky enough to be part of it and stay on, you know, from the Canadian Tour to PGA Tour Canada. And, you know, I've, I had a great boss in Jeff Monday, who was the first leader of PGA Tour Canada. And I worked with him for the better part of 6 years, 7 years. And then I was fortunate enough to be given the nod to take over the leadership role on PGA Tour Canada, which, you know, has been interesting because it happened in April of 2020.
Yeah.
You know, but, you know, we were talking earlier before we started, and, you know, we honestly, our team has done an amazing job at creating opportunities for players based in Canada. We ran the four event series in 2020, two events at Bear Mountain, two at TPC Toronto, which, you know, were great opportunities for players up here. And then last year we ran eight events under the Mackenzie Tour umbrella, if you will, mostly for Canadian players. And, you know, it was a great success. And now we're focused hopefully on getting out of COVID and getting ready to have a return to what we've normally done with respect to international players and access to the Korn Ferry Tour and that kind of thing. So that's kind of a quick overview of where I've started and where we are now.
No, I appreciate that, Scott. You covered a lot, which is great. When I was kind of looking it up, I was checking out your bio and stuff. I saw a little bit of you kind of taking leadership in, like you said, kind of right in the heat of COVID. And like I can say, I was lucky enough to be at the event this past, I think it was August at Osprey Valley. So, and it went really, really well. The players all really enjoyed it. And I'm kind of like looking at the schedule for this year, and Q School's on right now. Like I thought maybe we could touch on Q School and then maybe come back to a little bit of the schedule for this season. How has registration been for that? Like has everybody kind of navigated that? Yeah. Okay. I think there was, is there seven of eight events for the like qualifiers?
Seven, yeah.
Okay. Seven.
Yeah. So registration went well. We, it closed on Tuesday at 5 o'clock. We have 820 players that registered, which is pretty good. Seven sites beginning February 14th at Weston Hills, which is in the sort of Miami, Fort Lauderdale area. And then we have six more, including one, the final one in Canada at Comox, or sorry, at Crown Isle in Comox, which we've conducted. Had an event there since we started PGA Tour Canada. They've been a great partner. And in fact, all of our qualifying sites have been great partners, and you know have stuck with us through the trying times that we've had for the last couple of years. So so the interest level is still there. I think honestly, I think there may be a little bit of hesitancy from players with a little bit of the unknown, and obviously Omicron came on right around when we opened up Q School. So you know, the numbers are solid. The players can still enter though. And I think there were some players that were just uncertain about travel and, you know, various COVID related issues. So we've changed our policy in that typically the registration window is only open for a week and that's it. But now, you know, because of COVID, we keep it open, and players pay a little bit more than what if they got in at the deadline. But that's a new thing. So we'll be able to still accept entries and we'll see how that goes. But overall, we're pleased with the interest level from Q School. And, you know, we expect to have a competitive season with all the players, you know, some really good players that have entered the Q School, including, you know, we were looking at percentages yesterday. I think there's 104 Canadians that have entered, which is higher than normal, you know, and not much higher. I mean, typically we get about 90 on average Canadians. So to see an extra, 15, 14 players enter is a good thing.
Yeah, absolutely. That's good to see. And like we were kind of chatting a little bit before, and golf is sort of like, it's booming everywhere, but it's growing with a lot of the younger individuals. Can we kind of touch on like any of the younger players that might be listening right now, what some of the qualifications are? And at each event, I think I was reading up, you can have 132 players in each qualifier.
Is correct.
Yep. Okay. So if, you know, I'm a younger player looking to get into pro golf, what do I need to be able to get into the qualifiers?
Well, I mean, if you're a pro, all you need to do is go on to our website and enter. It's $2,600 US to enter. Once you enter, you'll be assigned a site. So the way it works is there's seven sites and you rank them based on which one you want to play. And it could be that the date works for you, or you want to play in Canada because you don't want to go to the US just from a financial perspective or otherwise. Once you enter, that you'll be given your site assignment based on your selection and your priority, and it's a lottery. So you don't necessarily get your first selection, but typically you know, when we look at the historicals, like you're pretty much bound to get your second or third selection. It just depends on what site you pick and how popular it is. You know, the wigwam site in Arizona typically is a really popular site and is oversubscribed. So you'll get some players that will get displaced from that. And we also give priority access to members of PGA Tour Latino America and members of Korn Ferry Tour. So they'll pretty much guaranteed their first selection. And then we kind of go from there. So once you enter and you're confirmed, you're essentially playing the top player from each, or the medalist from each site, gets full status on the tour for next season. Players 2 through 9 get into the first half of the season before the reshuffle. And then players 10 through 30 earn conditional status. And so what conditional status does for you is it gives you access to the Monday qualifiers for $100. It gives you access to the TPC network. So if you're a Canadian player, and you don't necessarily have a place to play, and you know, you live in the GTA, or you know, even if you live in Canada and you come to Toronto, you'll have access to TPC as a member, to be able to, you know, use the range, practice and also play. But more importantly, it gives you the ability to get into the reshuffle. And so if you're not a member and you Monday qualify, And let's say you Monday qualify and, you know, you finish 10th, you'll get into the next week. But let's say you miss the cut. You don't necessarily have the opportunity to shuffle in on the points list. Whereas if you're a member, you would have the ability to shuffle in. So let's say you finish 15th, you Monday qualify into the first event, or you get a sponsor's exemption, and you make the cut, you play well, you're pretty much guaranteed to get into the reshuffle in the second half of the season. So that's a really, you know, added benefit. Now, if you're a non-member, and hopefully this doesn't, you know, I'm not getting too far in the weeds here, but if you're a non-member and let's say you finish 2nd at an event, after the reshuffle, if you're in the top 60 on the points list as a non-member, you can then reshuffle in. So we'll offer you membership as long as you're within that top 60. And it would be the top 3 non-members within the top 60 that are offered membership. And that happens from time to time. Mackenzie Hughes, as a matter of fact, in 2013, it's a story I always like to tell. Mackenzie Hughes went to Q school and didn't get a card. But he was able to get a sponsor exemption and then Monday qualified into a couple of events and ended up being our player of the year. James Allenby is another good example. I think in 2019, he finished 2nd in Vancouver. And so he was pretty much guaranteed status, but he wouldn't get in until after the reshuffle. But he was lucky enough to get sponsor exemptions into the next 5 events. And he ended up, I don't know exactly where he finished, but he kept his card. And then he played a couple of events in the U.S. last year he played the Form Tour last year in the U.S. and kept his card. So he'll be back. So that happens from time to time that non-members can shuffle in.
All right, Scott. So last year was a little bit different. Obviously, anybody with kind of PGA Tour Canada status, or played on the PGA Tour Canada or PGA Tour of Canada professional could kind of hop into any events. Limited, like you said, to mostly Canadians playing in the fields that were just with like cross-border travel and whatnot. Mm-hmm. You were able to run 8 successful events. Now, we saw like a couple of guys, like obviously Callum Davidson was, which still watching that guy, absolutely amazing me being a cross-handed player. I just can't wrap my head around it. We've talked with a couple, like obviously ground force reaction is like a big topic. And I talked to, his name's Ryan, Holly or Haley. So he's out in, he's out West I was trying to collect the idea. I'm getting a little off track, but collect the idea of how he would be able to transfer that type of, move to a swing really. But, you know, you found it to be a successful year, had a couple like really, really good players, those top 5. We've had Michael Blair on the podcast just after he won in PI. Now, those guys all retain their card for this year. And then will that transfer over? Like, will they be able to? Because I know, I think it was the top player gets Korn Ferry Tour status. Number 1, is that correct? If you.
On the form. So the way. So it's confusing, and I'll admit that right out of the gate. So basically, think of the Form Tour last year that happened in the States. that was essentially every player that went to PGA Tour Canada Q School.
Okay.
Their membership was transferred to the Form Tour.
Gotcha.
And so we did that. So we were, they weren't, the players weren't stuck in limbo. And so we conducted the Form Tour in the US, and the top player on the Form Tour earned full status on the Korn Ferry Tour. Players 2 through 5 earned conditional status on Korn Ferry Tour. And then 6 through 10 got into final stage of Q School.
Okay.
So that the Form Tour is done. It's not happening moving forward. PGA Tour Canada is back. And so now at the end of this season, the top player will earn Korn Ferry Tour status for next year. 2 through 5 and 6 or 10 will get into Q School.
Gotcha.
Final stage of Korn Ferry Tour Q School. In terms of last year, so Callum earned full status on Mackenzie Tour for this year. And then 2 through 5. So Brendan, Blair, Michael, and Noah have conditional status, which gets them into the first half of the events before the reshuffle.
Okay. Very cool. I think like I was just kind of looking through, and that was one of the things that I wanted to touch on, because a little bit different, obviously, with less events. Do you guys have the schedule firmed up this year? Do you know how many events you're holding?
Yeah, so we're targeting to host between 11 and 12 events. And we expect to announce our schedule, I would say, in the next 3 to 4 weeks. We're hoping to do it early to mid-February. But we're feeling good. Like we're just waiting on, and this happens every year. Typically we don't announce our schedule on PGA Tour Canada until that February, March timeframe. And so we're on track with that. It's a little bit different in COVID, just sort of navigating some of the restrictions and how that impacts business and that kind of thing. But overall, like I said, we're expecting 11 to 12 events for this season. And again, we'll be announcing that in the coming weeks.
Great. Yeah. So anybody looking to kind of follow it, I'll link the Instagram handle just below. So if you're kind of listening to this in the car or on Apple, whatever, scroll down below, click the link. I'll link the Instagram account, which you can kind of follow any events there, and the website as well. I wanted to ask you something I always like asking people. I thought that this would be a pretty cool one for yourself, Scott. Could I get an idea of what a day in the life would be like for you? Whether or not it's just you kind of collecting your meetings. I know you guys have a few things coming up, or like an event specific, whether it be kind of a day one of a tournament or even a final round. Could you kind of just walk us through a day of what it would be like for you?
Yeah, I think, for me during the season, a lot of my time at events is spent with our tournament directors and with our key sponsors. Making sure that they're happy with how things are going, obviously just spending time with them, letting them, ensuring that they feel a part of the bigger picture, which is part of the PGA Tour family. I also spend a lot of my time, talking to players and, answering any questions that they may have. I think that, our team in particular is really focused on helping the players and do whatever we can to make their life on tour and in Canada more enjoyable. So we really go out of our way to provide information before events. And it's, it's handy information. It's not just like, here's where the airport is. Here's the, if you need a cab, it's really more in depth in terms of, here are the top restaurants to eat at, here are the top attractions, here are the people to talk to if you want to do that. Working with the players and helping them, and then also working with our staff. Sometimes there's issues that come up during events that we have to handle, whether it's, weather delays or, and this doesn't happen a lot, but any issues with players on course, and call it disciplinary, right? Things that happen on the course, and then really just networking at events, meetings after meetings, and lots of dinners and that kind of thing. And then in terms of the off season, once the season's done, we're planning for the next year. And in some cases, I'll go to events. Typically I'm only at events for 3 or 4 days. And it's typically early in the week, depending on the event, doing my thing early in the week and kind of getting out of there. But then sometimes it's later in the week as well. So doing closing ceremonies and, you know, speaking on behalf of the tour, but also interacting again, a lot of it, like I said earlier, a lot of it, my time is spent interacting with our sponsors and in particular our key sponsors, or in some cases, if we're bringing new sponsors or trying to attract new sponsors to our events, you know, we'll host prospecting events where we're inviting people that aren't necessarily involved with the event to come and experience it, whether it's in the VIP skybox or whether it's playing in a pro-am or conducting clinics or what have you. So, you know, that's typically what I'm involved with during the tournament season. Lots of travel, obviously, during the year, during the season, whether it's to existing events or potentially, you know, site visits to new potential events. And then in the off season, it's all really planning. Like we're just planning for the year, getting everything organized. And so I'm sort of the, you know, leader of the orchestra, working with our team. And we, like I said, you know, we have a great team. They've been around. Most of our team has tenure with the tour, you know, 5+ years. So they really know what they're doing. So we have a pretty well-oiled machine. And I think that, you know, if you, and I know you're friends with a number of players and you talk to them frequently, I think pretty much to a person, the players would give high marks to our team in terms of their responsiveness and willingness to help and, you know, do whatever they can for the players. And, you know, that's really a big focus for us. Like I've mentioned, you know, sponsorship is a big part of my portfolio as well, working on finding new sponsors, finding new events. You know, that's ultimately how I think, you know, we're judged based on, you know, for the most part, how many events we have, how successful they are, making sure that we're, you know, obviously coming in on budget or under. So those are things that, you know, I'm really focused on a day-to-day basis.
Yeah. I can't play 18 holes at, with enough consistency, enough amount of times to get myself into one of these events, but I've been lucky enough to be at them. I've been lucky enough to carry the bag for friends, and it's something you just got to go to and check out. It's kind of hard to explain. It's a lot different. Like you see the PGA Tour on TV. It's a lot different watching kind of it on TV or PGA Tour Canada. You got to just go and check it out, be there in person. Like these players are absolutely incredible too. Mm-hmm. And one of the things, like after kind of talking with all of them, one of the kind of correlations that they all have is the difficulty with travel and kind of planning that. They might've been university students, played NCAA mm-hmm. or whatever it may be. And then as soon as you kind of become a pro, like all of that travel is you're your own travel agent at that time. Right. So, mm-hmm. You know, we talked to Ziggy in the past, so he's living out West and he was mm-hmm. kind of mentioning trying to navigate all through their flights, cars, all that stuff. And then Lucas last week is, he's got like a Ford, Transit that him and his girlfriend have kind of retrofit into their home so they can kind of travel mm-hmm. through. And they said, everybody is, as soon as they roll into the parking lot, everybody's just amazing, kind of points them in the right direction, kind of gets them set up. And, you know, any players kind of know where they're going pretty quickly. Can we, like you're talking about hopefully trying to put together a full schedule this year, you know, it's a very fluid season. Well, it's been a very fluid couple of seasons anyway, mm-hmm. Fluid time in our lives. But, with the PGA Tour, do you think, like, do you have any thoughts on the Canadian Open this year, like at St. George? You think it'll ultimately land back here? I know we're hoping for June, but
yeah, I do. I mean, I think ultimately, like, we have to be optimistic and positive that things are going to happen. I mean, the borders open. I don't foresee, and hopefully I'm not on the wrong side of history here, but I don't see the border closing. You know, it's kind of ironic. They announced earlier this week that the U.S. is warning Americans not to travel to Canada, which was kind of opposite of what it was when we first started in the pandemic.
Right? Yeah, I was saying that same thing with my buddies the other day. Yeah, like it's kind of like all flipped over. So I just hope we can kind of get to that point where we can start kind of running the event, because it's something that we all miss, like as Canadian golfers as well, right?
And no, I think I agree.
We would have kind of a residual effect of people going to those events and being able to kind of, you know, get the golf bug and then want to come out, and, you know, whether it's at TPC or whatever other locations in the area that they want to check out or wherever the tournament is, they're going to do so, right? Mm-hmm. So before I let you go, Scott, I'm sure you've seen that the PGA Tour is releasing like a Netflix document, or well, kind of like a mm-hmm. series this year. So we've got a lot of, a lot of pretty cool characters that have played on the PGA Tour of Canada in the past, like Grayson Sigg just won the Korn Ferry Tour Player of the Year. Joel Damon, Tony Finau, like, you know, these guys, if they were to, I'm kind of curious if Netflix were to come in and say, you know, Scott, we want to do a series with the Canadian Tour. Is there any like past alum or current players that you think would be a kind of a great feature for that?
Well, Joel Damon, yeah. Certainly is someone that, you know, he's a character and a good friend. He played, you know, he's obviously had some health issues in the past. He had testicular cancer and, you know, he's overcome that. He played on the Canadian Tour before it was PGA Tour Canada. And, you know, so I've known him for a long time. And I think back to, when I first started with the Canadian Tour, I was doing a lot of things and I was involved on the media side. And we used to have a YouTube channel called Canadian Tour TV. So we, you know, I'd do the interviews with the players afterwards, and I'd never met Joel. It was his first event back after recovering from testicular cancer, and we were playing in Saskatchewan. And, you know, people knew of Joel and like how much of a character he was. I had no idea. Anyway, he shot like 62 and was in the lead after the second round. And, I'm interviewing him, and, you know, I didn't know anything about him. And so start talking to him, and, you know, all of a sudden he tells me that, you know, I'm this is my first event back. And I'm like, you know, where have you been? And he's like, well, I had cancer. And he was kind of making light of it at the time. And it, like, for me, it was like, wow, like this kid is like pretty impressive, like to be able to come back from that. And like, he always had the ability to go low. And, you know, there's a saying, you probably heard Scuba Steve or Scuba, like going low, right? And going deep, that kind of thing. And like Joel, of any player that I can think of, and I think if you talk to Nick Taylor and, you know, Joe Panzeri used to play our tour, who played with him at University of Washington, short-lived stint he had there. But, you know, he had the capability more than any other player that they knew of at the time. And even still, he proves it, you know, on the PGA Tour that he can go low. But outside of that, you know, he's a true character. So that's certainly someone that I'm excited to see in the Netflix documentary. I think Tony as well. You know, Tony is a pretty serious guy. And when he played with us, you know, he's pretty shy. Like, we didn't, you know, if you look at photos from when Tony played with us, like, you know, young guy and you know, not as well outfitted as he is now. You know, he was grinding like most of these players do. So to see the success that he's had and for him to come out of his shell, I think is going to be really interesting to see. And he's a great guy. And I think, you know, you can see that when you follow him on the PGA Tour, you know, very philanthropic, very family oriented. I think it was nice what the players did for him last week. His father-in-law passed away, and all the players wore a ribbon in honor of his father-in-law, which is really cool. And it shows the respect that the players have for Tony and where he's come from and what he's accomplished. You know, there's some players that, you know, Nick Taylor, for example, is a player that, you know, is pretty, when you see him, like, he's pretty quiet, nondescript guy. But he's got a great sense of humor, you know, really dry sense of humor. And I'd like to see Nick at some point, you know, be profiled in a show like that, because I think it could really do, you know, could really see a side of Nick that you don't see on the golf course. Like, when you saw him win AT&T and even before when he won Sanderson, like, pretty laser focused individual, right? And but he's got a great personality. And I mean, the reality of it is, Grayson Sigg, you mentioned, like, Grayson's a hilarious guy and a really, like, cool dude. And you know, I would say all of the guys that play our tour, you know, have their own unique characteristics that I think would be great for a show. And, you know, we try to do that as well, you know, on our tour and profile players. Like, we did a story on Troy Bolmer this past season. And if you know Troy's story, it's a really unfortunate one. Is he was playing college golf in the US and he was driving back in the Dakotas and got caught in a tornado, and his father, who was driving, passed away, which was really unfortunate. And Troy had some really significant injuries and came back and, you know, was trying to find his way back into, you know, the elite status or elite golf. He is an elite golfer and trying to find his way, but he's a really cool guy as well. And, you know, really quirky. And, you know, if he came off the golf course and shot 75, you wouldn't know it, you know, cause he's just such a happy-go-lucky guy. So we're going to try to do more of that, as well. I mean, we don't have the Netflix, presence at this point. For sure, it'd be a dream of mine to find, you know, something like that to do for this tour. Cause I think this tour in particular, like you really see, I don't think people can appreciate the grind that it is that these players have. And you had mentioned earlier about the travel and, you know, I think it's an important point in that when players graduate from university and they start professional golf, like they could be caught like a deer in the headlights, because in you kind of touched on it again, is that when you're in college golf, like everything's taken care of for you, right? You're right. Here's when you're going to practice, here's when you need to be at the bus, or here's when you need to be at the airport, you know, here's who you're playing, here's your tee time. Well, when you become a professional golfer, it's really about time management. And typically what I see is the players that figure out all the stuff off the course quickly are the guys that typically make it and play well, because they don't have the concern of, hey, where am I going to stay next week? You know, like, believe it or not, I've seen players on a Friday, you know, miss the cut at an event and or on the putting green time. Hey, where are you staying next week? And it baffles me. I'm like, man, I can't believe these guys don't have that stuff figured out. And I, you know, I wouldn't say that's a necessary indicator for long-term success, but I think in life in general, people that are organized and manage their time and are disciplined are people that excel and do well. And so, you know, I think golf isn't not much different.
No, it's definitely like it's a skill set, right? To be able to learn those types of behaviors mm-hmm. and stuff like that. And it's going to set you up for success, no doubt. And I was thinking too, I just want to go back to Tony Finau, because I saw him kind of breaking it down. Like I had a video of him on social media, kind of breaking it down at a wedding, which I thought was pretty cool. Cause Tony is, like you mentioned, a pretty serious guy, but, mm-hmm. yeah, he likes to have a good time too. And past guest Mac Boucher, I'm sure you're familiar with Mac. He's got a mm-hmm. massive Instagram following. So, yeah. He's from the area here, him and I chat all the time. And he was kind of mentioning, I believe it was, like at a PGA Tour Canada event, he was playing I think it was a practice round with Tony Finau, and he like chunked a driver off the tee and took like a huge divot. And like he said, at the time, it was kind of when Tony was becoming like a big player. I don't want to say Tony was a late bloomer, but he was kind of like reaching his, you know, reaching that time. And he just kind of laughed and said, you know, that was normal. And he went on to shoot like an 81 or something. He said, I don't know what it was, but, yeah, I think seeing guys like, well, obviously Joel Damon would be awesome too. He's probably the, maybe the biggest character. I think there's 16 signed up right now, and I'm sure there'll be more.
Mm-hmm. But, well, Harry Higgs too. Like, I don't know Harry that well, but obviously like, He's a character. So I think, you know, I'm a fan of the F1 series, and obviously the same company is producing that show for the PGA Tour. So I expect it to be pretty, pretty fascinating. And, you know, I think like many people, I wasn't an F1 fan, before that show came out. And even my wife, who isn't really a sports fan, to begin with, like the drama, as my wife likes to correct me, around that show, you know, really kept people engaged with it. And I think that ultimately is going to be the goal for the PGA Tour show. And, you know, I really think people are going to enjoy it, you know, getting a behind the scenes look at these players and their lives, I should say. And also, you know, when you think of a guy like Tony, like when you think about a player, like, these guys have so many people helping them behind the scenes, right? You think about Boyd Summerhays, who's his coach, who actually played Canadian Tour for a couple of years and played on the PGA Tour. Chris Armstrong, who's Canadian, is his agent. Dr. Stuart Love, who's from Victoria, is his physiotherapist, massage therapist. He's a chiropractor. You know, so they've got big teams of people that are like, these are finely tuned athletes. And I think that's changed over time, right? When you, you know, even when I started on the Canadian Tour, like, you know, Joel Damon, as an example, like you know, Joel would be out, you know, on a Friday night having fun, you know, you gotta, you know, and maybe in and around the lead on the Saturday, but he's out. Nowadays, you don't see that. You know, players are so dialed, and you see that across all the sports, right? Like even hockey, when you think about how young these players are coming in and making an impact, basketball, same thing, you know, baseball, football, maybe to a lesser extent, but, you know, it's certainly changed, you know, how dedicated and the players understand how disciplined they have to be in order to make it and compete at the top level.
Yeah, I just kind of like, as you're saying that, I'm thinking John Daly. Like, I got a pair of signed John Daly shoes behind me, and like, there's not too many John Daly's on the planet. No. Like, not too many guys can kind of just show up a couple minutes before tea time and go low, right? So, we're in conversation with Scott Pritchard, Executive Director of PGA Tour Canada. Scott, thank you so much. Really appreciate you coming on, taking some time to kind of give us an insight. Really appreciate what you're doing for the players. Like, I'm just thinking of all the players back, like CT Pan winning a bronze medal this year. Like, you know, this is definitely becoming kind of an avenue to become, you know, one of the best players in the world. We're talking about Tony Finau, who's a top 10 player in the world, right? So it's becoming such a, you know, an avenue for these players to achieve success and make a career at a golf. And I really appreciate what you and your team are doing. Appreciate you coming on, taking the time to have a chat with us and kind of share it with any of our viewers, any of our listeners. Before I let you go, can you maybe share a couple of, like, the handles, the website, if anybody wants to kind of reach out and get a hold of you, or even just check out the schedule? Can you just kind of share that before you go?
Yep. So pjtour.com/Canada. And then all of our handles are at PGA Tour Canada. So Facebook, Instagram, Twitter. So Twitter is really where you can find, you know, more day-to-day information about the tour. Instagram is really more focused on players. And, you know, right now during the off season, we typically try to focus on our alums, i.e. Tony. You know, we've had 54 players that have made it to the PGA Tour since we started in 2013. And we've got 28 players, alums, that are currently on the PGA Tour this season, which is the most we've ever had. So,
yeah,
you know, we're excited to see this week in particular. You know, Corey is, you know, one of the betting favorites for the Sony Open,
and my guy,
Taylor Pendrith. I think you'll see, you know, big things from him this year. Grayson Sigg, Paul Barjon. So, I mean, the list goes on and on. So, yeah, you can follow us on those handles, and pjtour.com/Canada, where you can find more information about the tour. And yeah, appreciate you having me on, Mac, and I wish you great success with the podcast. And you know, I'd love to come on again at some point.
Yeah, maybe we'll try and get you back on. I was just looking, we got to mention Taylor Gooch, because he's leading the FedEx Cup right now. So we can't leave that name out, because it's kind of leading, I don't know. The FedEx Cup is like always changing, but yeah.
He'd be another guy that would be a good, you know, eventually I think you'll see him on a PGA Tour Netflix series. Another guy that, you know, is sort of unassuming, but, you know, behind the scenes, really good guy. You know, we're extremely proud of him and what he's accomplished. And, you know, that's the thing, you know, you create these relationships with the players and you just wish nothing but success for them. And, you know, you look at Cramer Hickok, and I mean, there's a list, an entire list. I mean, Tyler McCumber, another, you know, really cool dude, you know, surfer, snowboarder. He was actually up in Canada just before Christmas in Whistler. He loved, you know, when he played the tour, he loved going to Whistler and Banff and Jasper and, you know, hiking and experiencing the outdoors. So, you know, there's a lot more to the players than just playing golf. And those are the stories and the things that I think people are really most interested in. And I think that runs the gamut, you know, in all sports. They want to see, you know, it's all about the content, they say. And certainly that's something, like I said earlier, that we're striving to, you know, tell the story about our players outside of golf. And, and, you know, hopefully people enjoy some of the things that we've put out in the past, you know, Eric Hawerchuk and Anthony Brodeur, done some features on them. We did a number of features on players. So you can check those out on our YouTube channel, which is youtube.com/PGA Tour Canada.
Well, thank you so much, Scott. I really appreciate you taking the time. This is great. And yeah, if we can get you back on maybe mid-season or kind of at the end of the year, do a recap, we would love it. That'd be great.
Love to.
All right. Take care. All the best.
Thanks, man.
Is out in my ball and of course so I tee up. I lose a ball and I re-up. I miss a fairway, I probably end up in the ocean or maybe the beach. And I'm on a par 5 and I'm finna go reach it. Second was blind, I ain't see it. Feel like it might be an albatross, worst case scenario.